Meharry led her through a maze of corridors to a door that had Lieutenant E. Suiza, executive officer, on it.
Now, it's customary to make a courtesy call on the captain. Since the captain told the lieutenant not to let you know she was there, and she did, this could be a bit tricky. Just so you know.
Come in.
When Meharry opened the door, Esme was half sitting on her bunk. She looked pale and tired.
Brune wants to see you. She kind of insisted when the medics wanted to sedate her.
Brun moved past Meharry and held out the pad on which she'd already scribbled, "Thank you." Esme stared at it, then at Brun, brow furrowed.
They don't have a speaker device for you? What are they thinking of?
They're worried about my stability.
They ought to be worried about your voice, damn it. This is ridiculous. That should be the first thing.
Thank you. My father gave you trouble.
They got the tape of what I said to you that night. And I'm sorry, it really was insulting.
You were right.
No. I was angry, that's what. I thought you were stealing Baron, as if he were my property. Which is disgusting of me, but that's how I felt.
You love Baron?
That was something that hadn't occurred to her, even in the months of captivity.
Yes. And you had so much more time, and when I was working, I knew you were spending time with him.
Talking about you?
I didn't know that. Anyway, I said I'm sorry, but they thought, I had something against you and your family. Your father didn't want me involved in the planning or with the mission, but that's not the important thing. The important thing is you getting a voice.
Esme thought for a moment.
Meharry.
Meharry knew everyone and everything, as near as Esme could tell. If that device on the station had survived, Meharry would know where it was. And if it hadn't, she'd know what would work. 10 minutes later, a young pivot, so new he squeaked, delivered a briefcase-sized box that flipped open to reveal a keyboard of pre-programmed speech tags, as well as direct input.
Here, try this.
Brun peered at it and began tapping the buttons.
It looks like the one Lady Cecilia used on Rotterdam.
Let's see what this one sounds like.
I didn't like that one. Let's try this.
Brun shrugged.
I'll keep this one.
I wonder why they didn't do this first. If they had a synthesizer aboard, why not give it to you right away?
Arrogance. They knew what I needed. Why ask me?
Brun, I'm so sorry.
Don't waste time. Thank you. You saved my life.
Esme struggled to think how to answer that one.
And by the way, who's doing your hair? It looks good even after being squashed in a suit.
Sarah Sines, Marta Sines, took me to this place, Afino's.
Rafaela's Aunt Marta, you must have impressed her if she took you there. Good for you.
You're good with that thing.
Practice with Cecilia. And you cannot know how good it feels. Now, what's going on with Fleet and the planet? Hazel wants to get the other kids out.
And your babies. Your father's adamant about that. He's not leaving his grandchildren there.
He can have them.
Brun's expression dared Esme to question that.
Look, I don't know what the whole situation is, because since I'm in disgrace for letting you know I was here, they won't tell me. You're on a search and rescue ship. There's a task force with us. But what we're doing is micro-jumping around, keeping out of the way the militia warships.
Who can I talk to? Who's giving the orders?
On this ship, Captain Solis. For the task force, Admiral Serrano.
Good. I need to talk to her.
Admiral Serrano?
Esme remembered in time that Brun already knew the Admiral. She might in fact listen.
I can get you as far as Captain Solis, but there's a blackout on communications with the task force.
Captain Solis first.
Esme nodded and led the way without another word. Brun glanced at Esme. Besides the more effective haircut, there was something else different. She realized as Esme led her through the ship and she saw others defer to her, that Esme might indeed be in disgrace, but she was far more than Brun had imagined. Her own idiocy struck her again, the way she had condescended to this woman, the way she had assumed that Esme was no more than any other student, no more than, for instance, herself. That man in the combat veterans bar had been right. She had not understood at all. They paused at a cross corridor while what looked to Brunn like huge people in armor moved past.
You feeling better, Lieutenant?
Fine, thanks.
Esme turned to Brunn.
They were on the team that got you out.
Thank you.
Brunn hit the controls to save that phrase. She was going to need it a lot. Captain Solis stood as Brunn came in and reached to shake her hand.
We're so glad to have you back.
I'm glad to be back.
Your father did not want you bothered by Lieutenant Suiza, but I understand that you wanted to see her.
Yes, I wanted to apologize to her for my behavior on Copper Mountain. It was made clear to me during my captivity just how badly I had misjudged her, and I wanted to express my profound gratitude for her efforts on my behalf.
You don't know most of it. She is the one who insisted that you were probably still alive after your escape shuttle blew up, that you could have engineered that as a decoy and said we had to go find you. I could almost change my mind.
He spared Esme a glance that Brunn could tell was more approving than usual.
I changed mine.
Well, now that we've got you and the other... Hazel Takaris, is that her name? We can jump safely back to the task force and get out of here with no more disruption.
No.
Captain Solis jumped. Brunn bit back a grin. It would not do to laugh at the man.
But what?
We must get the other children from the ship Hazel was on.
I don't see how.
We must.
But Hazel said they were safe, that they had adjusted to their new family.
We cannot leave little girls, familiar citizens by birth, to be brought up in a society where they can be muted like me for saying the wrong thing.
You're naturally overwrought.
I am tired, sore, hungry, and extremely tired of having no voice. But I am not overwrought. Those children were stolen from their families. Their parents were murdered horribly. And they're in the control of people who were willing to kidnap, rape, and abuse me. How dare you suggest that they are safe enough where they are?
Sarah, it's not my decision. It will be the Admiral's, if she can make it without authorization from the Grand Council, which I doubt.
Then I will see the Admiral.
It will be some time before we can rendezvous safely.
Solis gave Esme a long look.
And for the time being, Lieutenant, could you find quarters for our guest? I know we're crowded with extra crew, not to mention prisoners.
Yes, sir.
Prisoners.
Two groups. Three different shuttle loads came up to the station after you. One blew itself up, but we caught two.
Brunn wanted to see them. She wanted to let them see her, free and healthy, and... No, she would get her voice back first, and then she would see them.
Something to eat?
Right away.
Esme led her to the wardroom. Brunn sat reveling in food which someone else had cooked. Flavors she was used to, condiments she liked, anything she chose to drink, while watching Esme covertly.
What did Afinos do to her hair? And for that matter, what can I do about my hair after hacking it off so blindly with a knife?
Several days later, with her hair once more a riot of tousled curls, thanks to the crew's barber, she was ready to tackle Admiral Serrano.
You are coming with me. I need you. I trust you.
You could take Meharry.
But she is not you. I need you.
I'm the executive officer. I can't just leave the ship.
Then the Admiral can come here. Which do you think she'd like least?
Put like that, there was no question. Esme tracked down Captain Solis and received permission to accompany Brunn to the flagship.
And it has not escaped my notice that almost 2 years without a voice has not begun to stop that young woman giving orders. We had better get her commissioned, so at least it's legal.
The Serrano Legacy, Rules of Engagement, is continued on the next CD.